Is this thing not rolling? Or...
All right, I'd like to call to order the March 4th, 2025 meeting of the Simpsonville Planning Commission. And we've got four items here to discuss here tonight, and I'm glad we got a nice little crowd. And can Mr. Derby please give us the roll?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Duhl?
Present.
Commissioner Hirshhorn?
Present.
Commissioner Gillespie? Commissioner Whittall?
Yep.
Commissioner Wells?
Present.
Commissioner Shannon?
Present.
And Chairperson Teodano?
Present. All right, now if everyone would stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. All right, our first item up for business tonight is AXZ 2025-01, proposed annexation of property located at 1601 West Georgia Road. Do we have an applicant or representative? Yeah. I'm sorry. My apologies first. We have to first approve the minutes.
So moved.
Okay. We have a motion by Commissioner Whittall. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Shannon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And it passes unanimously. All right. Now we have AXZ 2025-01, proposed annexation of property located at 1601 West Georgia Road. Do we have a representative or applicant here tonight?
I can give a first a kind of overview of the request.
Okay.
This is 1601 West Georgia Road. This is residential suburban zoning. It's not contiguous to the city. Do you have a portion right below that by a property owner that is looking to have a portion of that annex of 20 feet to make it connect with the city limits? So that is zoned RS, residential suburban. The applicants are requesting this to be zoned residential, office, and institution for the purpose of establishing a church service at this location. Just bring your attention, we did receive a petition that was dropped off today that was provided to each one of y'all in opposition of this request. Again, we do not have somebody, I believe, here to represent this, so I would leave this up to the commission if y'all would like to table this item to the next meeting. We tried to make contact with them last week. We did not hear back. They were aware that this meeting is today at this time. Unfortunately, no one's here to represent that. So that is completely up to y'all, but I would recommend to table this to the next meeting of Planning Commission, April 1st at 6:30.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we table this project until the next meeting when representatives of the organization can be present.
Okay, we have a motion from Commissioner Whittall.
Mr. Chairman, I second.
A second from Commissioner Duhl.
We have a brief discussion?
Yeah, any discussion.
Is it possible to have any members of the public who wanted to speak on this speak on it tonight since they came out, even if we do decide to table it?
I would say no, because I would have the opportunity to come back at the next time and give the applicant the opportunity to address those comments.
That's okay.
Commissioners? Okay, we'll take a vote. All in favor of tabling AXZ 2025-01 to the April meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? And it passes unanimously.
Sorry about that.
Okay, next item on the agenda is Z 2025-01, proposed rezoning of properties at 101, 103, and 16333 East College Street. Do any commissioners have any ex parte communication or conflict of interest to disclose? Okay. Is there an applicant present tonight or?
Staff.
Oh.
It's all right.
So we'll go to staff, Mr. Derby.
Yes, sir. Give you a little quick overview. Again, that third address is kind of unique, being 16333. That's probably a very old address, but this is East College, right next to the old, used to be SunTrust, what's its AAA establishment, Teal Automotive there is at 202. The current zoning is BG. Myself and prior directors have kind of talked to the property owners on this side of East College have kind of one of the desires was to have more business urban zoning in our downtown area. Just for clarification, business urban is more for your centers of your city. The lot lines, setbacks are taken away so you can build up to the lot lines. Business general does have setbacks. What they request tonight is to be zoned BU, and across the street on your screen is the old SunTrust. So they're basically trying to expand that, and that's something that staff would also look at other property owners to kind of expand our footprint as the business urban section. Maybe a street view. This location is down the bottom, that little black SUV. That's the location that they're really looking at as far as expanding. The two white buildings on the left is also part of that, those two properties within that, those three parcels. Those are active. It's a vitamin health store and a barbershop, and the current uses. In the back where the SUV is, that used to be a mechanic shop. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was an eyesore. Staff had to deal with that location very regularly, try to have the current property owner correct that area that the cars were packing up on the street. It was just basically a junkyard. The new property owners tonight have also done a facade improvement on the white buildings that you see on the left. What they're wanting to do in that back portion is to use that and upfit it as a apartment studio, a two-unit development in the back. That is permitted in both, in BU zoning only, not in BG. So by allowing that, they'll give them the ability to turn that garage into a studio apartment in the downtown area.
Okay, do we have a member with the application? Please state your name and address.
My name is Dennis Jones, and my home address is in Columbia, 243 Shoals Landing Drive, but I'm here every week. Lived here for all my life. My parents are from Simpsonville, Anderson Ridge Road, and very familiar with this area. I lived here for over 20 years, just been living in Columbia for six. Have owned 101 East College Street since 2016. Have owned 103 since 2022, and we're looking to, you know, improve the community. Just like John had mentioned, that it wasn't very attractive. The business that was there over 25 years, which was all car, And of course, the city is trying to move out of the auto mechanic business. And so, but we look forward to, we want to rezone it from business general to business urban so that we might be able to put apartments there. We're into property management. My wife owns a business, TGI Property Management, for over 15 years, and we manage throughout the state over 200 properties. And so we are more than capable of handling, you know, this project, and we look forward to your favorable decisions on us doing this. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here from the public who would like to make a comment about this? Okay, we'll close the floor to public testimony. And any commissioners have any questions?
Yes, I have several.
Commissioner Whittle?
Are there existing businesses in those two facilities currently?
Yes. Yes, it is. There's a health store there that's been ran about 30 years. And next door, there's a hairstyling salon. And my wife's business is there as well, TGI Property Management. And so in the back right now, it's vacant, and that's where we are proposing to have the two apartments, studio apartments.
Okay, are those businesses being relocated? Are they ceasing operations? What's their future once you take in pursuit of your project?
What's the future?
The businesses that are currently there.
Yes.
Are they moving out?
No. We have leases in place, and they're going to be there at least two more years.
Okay.
Mr.
Commissioner Newell.
Yes, Mr. Derby, would you possibly orient us to the site with some other, do you have some other pictures?
Yes, Mr. Commissioner Whittle, that black SUV in the back corner up there, that's where the garage used to be. That's vacant right now. So that's the location, and this is their, basically, if you look at this, this is the very back where the SUV would be parked, right in front of those roll-up doors. On the left side of the screen, the bottom, that'd be where the roll-up doors are located. Those are the two studios that they wanted to create there.
All
right. So currently it's just a shell. There is a kind of a hallway storage unit that's had kind of sunken down.
And this storage butts up to the health food store?
Correct.
Okay.
Got it.
They're all connected.
Yeah.
It actually butts up to the salon. Mm-hmm.
Let me go back to the overview real quick so I can get it. Yeah, unfortunately, that green's a little too thick on there, but yeah. Sorry, that was going to help.
Other questions, comments?
Yeah, if I may.
Commissioner Herschel.
There are several different elevations that were presented in this. Have you guys decided on which one you're using?
It's going to be brick. I think that's veneer brick right there, but we were going to use real brick, which is right there. It would look more like the one to the far right bottom.
Okay. Thank you.
I think the only question I have is that all these buildings are standalones and they have firewalls. Is that correct?
Yes. And all the plans were done by a licensed architect.
Other question?
Yes, I have another question. I apologize. My glasses, I can't read what's written on these drawings. What is the section between the garage going up to the beauty shop? What is, what is that? Is that storage or like?
Yes, that is about 200 square feet. That's going to be storage for both of the apartments. Okay. Yeah, so there's going to be an entrance for them to go there, and it's going to be divided equally so that they might be able to store whatever they need to store.
Will these be long-term rental units?
Yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Okay, staff recommendation.
We've met with the applicant, you know, gone over this quite a bit. Staff definitely supports this. We don't see any negative impact with this. They're going to abide by the overlay district for facades. By giving this a little, to improve this site even more. And again, the BU is for to maximize square footage. It's also future-proofing their site. If someone wanted to buy this stretch and redevelop it, they could redevelop it for the whole square footage. That's something that you want in your downtown with businesses up by the road. So again, it's definitely a positive on both sides. So this will have to go to the council for a decision. So from a staff perspective, we do recommend an approval of Z-2025-01.
I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Commissioner Hirschhorn makes a motion to approve. We have a second.
Second.
Commissioner Weeks, Wells seconds it. I'm sorry, Commissioner Shannon seconds it.
That's good.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor of passing Z-2025-01, proposed rezoning for properties at 101, 103, and 1633 East College Street, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? And it passes unanimously. All right, next up is TX-2025-01, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance. Mr. Derby?
Yes, sir. Commissioners, what we're talking about tonight, mending, is our sign ordinance that pertains to exempt signage, section 410.3. In your meeting packets, there are some exhibits that showed sections of the zoning ordinance that we're looking to amend. The reason for this is to get temporary exempt signage on the same page with the use. The current ordinance we have right now kind of regulates them differently based on the content. What we're looking to do is try to create more, define these temporary signs and regulate them size, location, time that they could be out there, the same. So there's no differentiating between what's on there and how long to be out there. For example, J, special event signs, we've eliminated that out of that location and addressed it later. Those are having a special event, garage sales at your property. There's regulations for the size, location, time those can be out there that differentiated from other signs. Political signs is a great example. We removed the regulations for that in that section, but kept the definition. Real estate signs, that was redefined in later in section R. The regulations were removed in that current location. Construction signs, someone does work on your property, they want to put a sign out front, those kind of construction signs. Those, again, were regulated differently than political signs and garage sale signs. We looped those in at the end with the help of our city attorney. They have been created in section R. I'm not going to read exactly verbatim. This is all in front of y'all. But basically, this puts yard signs, political signs, public event signs, as one. There's a regulation for the location where they can be, which is the same current now in the future, is that they must be on the side of the property. The size cannot exceed 6 square feet. They should not be in violation of other sections of the zoning ordinance or dealing with setbacks, maintenance. Signs should not be illuminated. And it also gives limitations on the number of signs per street fronts. The removal of the sign, the display of the sign cannot be out more than 45 days, and the removal is 7 days. That covers all of those temporary signs. We also define post signs, which deals with real estate. Again, the same regulations. So this was presented from our city attorney. Staff has looked at this. It's very common the way we have our zoning ordinance set up for signage at other municipalities. So they've been regulated pretty much this way. We're going to ask to make ours more in line with more content neutral exempt signs. And again, these are signs that are that don't require a permit, part of freedom of speech, putting things out by your property, but regulating them in line with each other. I'll leave this. Do you have anything to add?
Sure. I'm Daniel Hughes. I don't met most of you. This has been city attorney for a couple of years, and it's the first time I've been to a planning commission meeting, so that's a good thing for you.
No problem.
Stayed out of trouble.
Thank you.
But, yes, I have taken the lead for the city on making the amendments that you have before you to our sign ordinance dealing with temporary signs. And I took a look at this after a lawsuit had been filed against the city, and that, and this is public record, this individual challenged our ordinance, which said that political signs had to be could not go up more than 30 days prior to the election. So I took a look at it, and there was a Supreme Court decision back in 2015, Reed versus Town of Gilbert, which created a lot of prompted a lot of local governments to review their sign ordinances from a First Amendment standpoint. And our sign ordinance needs to be content neutral. And the easiest way to focus you on the issue is that if you have to read a sign to know what the regulation is, then it likely violates First Amendment. And so when I looked at our sign ordinance, I noticed that we had different rules applying to different types of signs. And so you had rules for political signs, construction signs, real estate signs, special event signs, sandwich board signs. And so my goal in the legislation, the amendments that you have before you, is to create the same rules for temporary signs, so that if you have a yard sign, which is basically what we're doing, these are yard signs. We want to have the same rules apply to all of them. And so the yard sign that advertises the garage sale would have the same rules that would be for a campaign sign. And our Supreme Court has said you can regulate it, and as long as those regulations are time, place, and manner neutral or reasonable. Not reasonable. And so what you have before you is not much different at all than what you had in terms of time, manner, and place. It's putting everything, the same type of temporary sign, under one regulation, so that the same regulations apply to the same types of signs. And so what you have there under Section R, which is really the key section for your purposes, or for the eventually the city council's purpose, is that it has a size limit, which is consistent with which was already in the ordinance. It has had the signs have to be located out of the public right of way, and I cleaned that up a little bit because it was 10 feet from the curb, which that didn't. To me, that was hard to regulate. Illumination, in each lot, there should not be more than one sign oriented to the same street. the basics there is to prevent sign clutter. You know, ultimately, it's council's decision. Your recommendation as to, you know, how you want your city to look. But it's reasonable to me, a reasonable regulation to prevent sign clutter. So I put in a provision in there that says not more than one sign oriented the same street. So if you had a corner lot, one on Jones Street, one on Smith Street, you'd have one sign on each side. And then under the time portion, I put 45 days prior to the event, sale, or election, and then it has to be removed within 7 days after. I'm not the final say-so on what these time, place, and manner restrictions are. That is for your recommendation and for council's decision. But what I have done here is created a framework in which to, for this city to decide that these are the reasonable restrictions we want to place on temporary unpermitted signs. And so with that, I'll happy to answer any questions that you may have.
I do have a question, if you don't mind.
Yep.
So with the restriction to one sign oriented to the same street, is that one sign of the same message or one side of any one temporary sign of any type of message?
That would, under the way it's drafted, it would be one side. It would be one temporary sign for each side of the street.
I could imagine there could be concern, you know, if you've got two different candidates for different positions, different offices that are running, you want to support them both, and then we're running to issues where you can only pick one, and that could be construed as a freedom of speech issue as well. Does that make sense? Did I explain that?
Yeah,
well,
you did.
Okay.
Any other commissioner comments?
The dates, so it looks like it was on political signs, it was 30 days. He said we were challenged over that 30 days.
That's correct.
And then in the edits, it's now 45. Is that more like, I don't know, industry standard on political signages? What's the increased date?
So let me just, again, ultimately it's council's decision as to what the time duration is.
Okay.
I don't have so much problem as the 30 days as I do is that it's different from each a different type of sign. So you're treating different types of signs differently.
Yep, 100%.
So to me, it's not 30 days versus 60 days versus 90 or 45. This is the rule for temporary signs.
Right.
Across the board.
Okay.
So for me, I would probably say I don't want to increase the political cycle by 50%, and I'd prefer to stay at 30. So I would propose changing that text, but
my only issue with that, if there's a runoff or if it prolongs past the regular election, if it's a runoff, I think that's where the 45 days came into play, probably. You're talking about 15 days.
That'd like to reset it, though, wouldn't it? It'd reset the timing on the new election.
Okay.
It's the way it's drafted is that for that election. So if you had a subsequent election after that, then it would be a new time period that would apply.
Okay, so what you're proposing is legislation that would apply to all temporary signs, whether they're political, private, religious, no matter what they are, they all have to follow the same set of rules and regulations.
That's correct.
So we can't just eliminate political signs altogether.
I don't know.
I know, freedom of speech issue.
Yeah.
Question in reference
Thank
to
you.
HOA, in reference to signage also, would this have any effect for someone who, HOA, that would not want signs in their neighborhood, would that still fall under the HOA, or would they still have to comply to this ordinance?
If you are talking about a restrictive covenant that says limit signs, that when we, for zoning purposes, if a restrictive covenant has a more stringent standard than the city ordinance, the city looks at is the restrictive covenant would guide that. Because if you own property in a neighborhood, you bought the land subject to the restrictive covenant, so you're bound by those. And if they're more restrictive than our ordinance, then you have to abide by the more restrictive standard.
Any other comments?
I'm sorry, I'm new here, Commissioner.
Elliot Hirschman.
Elliot. Back what you said about the multiple signs, it might make more sense if it was more than one unique sign, because you said if you were supporting a candidate for two different offices potentially or something like that. But I also do get the clutter as well. You don't want 100 signs in someone's lawn.
I foresee issues with that. I mean, you mentioned the lawsuit about, I could foresee that being a freedom of speech issue.
Mm-hmm. Especially considering there's multiple positions in elections.
Yeah.
So if the wording on that changed to more than one, or there shall not be more than... If you had a unique in there, perhaps?
That or else you adjust
more than one copy of the unique?
You adjust your political sign to represent, to indicate both candidates that you're interested in. Instead of setting up another regulation on how many extra signs you're allowed to put out during mm-hmm. the election season.
I think the plus we're getting stuck on that political aspect of it when you talk about this insurance, it's a broad sweep mm-hmm. versus the, we're focusing on the political aspect of it, but... Mm-hmm. From a broad perspective, it's going to umbrella all of it, not just the political aspect of it also.
I think there's a lot of realtors with more than 6 square foot signs as well.
Oh, yeah.
The real estate signs are what I've defined as post signs. Those are a little different than your yard signs because they're when I talk about a post sign, I'm talking, it's a post, it's bigger.
Hanks.
And so those are different than a yard sign. And so that's why it's defined differently under R2. And you have a little bigger size allowance, and then, if a property is on the market for a year, then the sign could stay there. But as soon as a sale happens, then it comes down 7 days after that.
Mr. Chairman, I have a comment.
Commissioner Dool.
Yes. As far as both other commissioners, I too agree that limiting to one sign, if somebody is bipartisan, wants to support just the electoral process, et cetera, making them pick a candidate, multiple offices, et cetera. I think it'd be hard from a legal perspective to put your arms around that. But I think we would be limiting free speech by limiting them to one sign, too. That's all I have.
But we could certainly say you can't have multiple copies of one sign, right? So we could say you don't want to have like 3 of the same sign up there. But if you had 3 unique signs, it could potentially...
That would be a better way of doing it than just establishing a number.
Mm-hmm. Duplicates.
So we could certainly look at mm-hmm. an amendment to establish one sign per street per election or sale. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you can't put 5 signs advertising your garage sale. You also couldn't put 5 signs advertising the same political candidate.
Just limited enthusiasm.
Yeah.
and that would help the clutter aspect. I would hope. Of course, I guess someone could find a reason to support every candidate on the in the state of South Carolina. I'm not sure.
But I have certainly seen a lot with 100 of the same sign before.
Well, yeah.
So that would eliminate that.
And if they're out of they have to be out of the public right of way. If that's the case,
mm-hmm.
it does reduce the amount that the public has to look at it. And
I think at the risk of limiting free speech, we need to allow for the multiple messages. So if it stays as is, I'll be voting no.
I think a lot of times where people see these clutter signs are at the intersections. That's one of the biggest
battles we do. When I started here at Code Enforcement, that was when my job was to regulate signage, and it was my truck bed would be full of these signs for people violating. But when you get into neighborhoods, they're pretty much regulated by the property owners. They want to advertise their use. So I from my experience, I never really came across people abusing that number on their individual property. It's when they go to the right-of-way, which is government-owned, and just blanket the whole corner, which the city does not want. I think everyone can agree the clutter, the eyesore, distraction, and maintenance of that intersection is hard to do with signs. But I understand your concern about the multiple options you would have in a political situation.
Could we could we propose to approve with a couple edits?
You can make a motion to amend the ordinance as presented to, and I believe you're asking to amend section V?
Yes.
Or 1-5, or not V.
Yeah, and it would, and the wording that you used for is it just public event, garage sale, or construction political? I guess the word you the phrasing you're using here would be should not be for more than one sign for each event, political election, or
what I could suggest maybe, and I might have to think about it, but
workshop
it would be the motion would be to amend section R15 to read as follows: for each lot there shall not be more than one sign oriented to the same street for each
It sounds like you're making exceptions for political signs over all the other signs.
No, because you're not, because you're treating, what you're saying is that
if there were multiple garage sales, they could be multiple signs.
You're supporting a different campaign, a different garage sale, a different. And so if that's the, if in that case, that would be, in my view, allowed as our Supreme Court has analyzed First Amendment issue that's created by these sign ordinances. Make a motion to direct me for the city attorney to craft or amendment to R15 to accomplish the goal to allow for more than one sign for each type of event or election. And that would allow, I think, accomplish what you want.
Okay. I will make a motion to...
Hold on just a second.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure. Is there anyone from the public who would like to make a comment? Okay. Close the floor to public. Now I'll entertain a motion.
Thank you. I would like to make a motion to amend section R15 to ask the city attorney to modify that language to allow multiple signs for different messages at the same time. So whether it's a garage, maybe they have a garage sale right before the election, for example, and they want to put their candidate out there too, or two candidates. So if you could wordsmith that for us, and I don't know, do we table it then for a final vote until we see that, or?
No, I think you're.
The intent has been made known.
Yeah, you're making a recommendation to send it to council.
Okay, got it.
That modified language that I will put when council, when it goes to the committee, the whole meeting, they'll have that in front of them.
But this motion is only for the adding the amendment. Correct?
That's right, and then we'll have to take another vote on the.
So I'd like to second that motion to add that amendment.
So we have a motion by Commissioner Hirschhorn and a second by Commissioner Wells. Any discussion?
Yes, Chairman, I have a question for
Commissioner Dooley.
You mentioned when you were, you did code enforcement prior to your current position. Is this in any way address some of the other signs that are in the right-of-way? Is this encapsulate, you know, we buy houses? It's...
Sorry, I didn't mean to...
Oh, no, thank you. All right. Thank you. My question has been answered.
Sorry.
All right, just to be clear, we'll be voting right now on the amendment, and then we'll vote if the amendment passes on the new ordinance.
Correct.
Okay. All right, all in favor of passing the amendment R15 for TX 2025-01, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays?
Nay.
One nay, Commissioner Whittle. And the motion passes, the amendment passes. Now we can take a vote on TX 2025-01.
I'd like to make one more amendment motion. I'd like to propose on R1-6, I'd like to decrease that 45-day down to 30, as was in line with the previous ordinance.
Okay, Commissioner Wells has made a motion. Do we have a second?
Tough crowd.
I second.
Commissioner Duhl seconds. Any discussion?
Mr. Derby, can you comment on why that was increased to 45? Is that just in alignment with other standards and other municipalities?
I believe that's pretty common. There's some places that are 60, but 30 is very common as well. Again, as Mr. Hughes mentioned, this is setting a date that we feel would accomplish this, but again, it's recommendation to council to increase that or lower that as well.
Okay.
I just, you know, I reviewed various ordinances from various different counties and cities, and that's the number that I decided to put in there. But again, that's again subject to council's approval. So that's why that's in there. There's no magic to that number.
Thank you.
So you're saying on average 45 days is what you find?
Well, I'm not saying it's an average. I'm just saying that 45 days to me, and again, I'm not a policymaker, seemed reasonable. And, you know, 45 days prior to November of, you know, whatever date the election falls on every year, just seemed like a good time frame that you'd want to see political signs start popping up in your city. You know, that's...
I'll thank you for that. If I may make a comment, in particular, this is more with presidential elections. I'm not so sure with the local elections, but if you think about the debate schedule for presidential elections, it's definitely those debates are happening more than 30 and potentially more than 45 days prior to the election. So I don't know if anybody would file a lawsuit about free speech if we limit it to 30, but I'm okay with 45.
Also, as a real estate agent, and you have your sign there, that's part of your advertisement, and that's part of how I get out of business. I don't want to put a stranglehold on those individuals who are trying to advertise their services also.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor of making an amendment to TX 2025-01 R16, reducing signage to no more than 30 days. Please say aye.
Aye.
And nays?
Nay.
Nay. And that is declined. All right, I will entertain a motion now to pass TX 2025-01 refinements to the zoning ordinance.
As amended.
As amended.
I'll make that motion.
Commissioner Hirschong makes the motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Whittle with a second. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor of passing TX 2025-01 with amendments to the zoning ordinance, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? And that passes unanimously.
Just thank you all for your time this evening and your hard look at this. you know, thank appreciate
you.
It.
Yeah. Thank you for your hard work.
Thank you.
You done? Good for me.
Yeah.
Final item for today is materials for the comprehensive plan evaluation. Mr. Derby.
Thank you. Glad the attorney was here for that one. Commissioners, you remember back in October, we reviewed the comprehensive plan evaluation, first three chapters. This is by state law. Every 5 years, you must evaluate your current comprehensive plan to make sure you're meeting the objectives on task with the goals that have been set forth by Planning Commission, Council, and obviously the citizens of the city of Simpsonville. Tonight's evaluations are the cultural resources, public facility, and housing. I won't go too far into this, but again, these chapters have goals and objectives. Some of these are required by department heads, some are required by staff, and some are by Planning Commission and City Council as well. So staff did reach out to department heads, city administrator as well, and try to get a temperature reading of where we are with some of these goals. And I was pretty satisfied with a lot of these. And again, as you looked at the staff report for this, anything we have in here that is, for example, strategy, cultural resource, 1.2, minimal progress has been made at those. We still have 4 years left to do those. So some of these in here, I wanted to make a note that they're not goals that you check off. They're goals that you continuously try to achieve. Public service, I think it came up in the last one, annexations was one of those you don't check off. It's just, it's a continuous process of growing the city, rezoning, redefining the city. So some of these are not going to be checked and move on. They're just something that you are doing or accomplishing. So try to go over cultural resources real quick. Part of the objective is to increase awareness of what we have as cultural resources. City's kind of limited to what we have here, unfortunately. We do have the Arts Center, which used to be a elementary school, one of the oldest schools in the county. We outfitted that for a very nice public art facility, new seating, new lighting, new acoustics. The old classroom's been renovated to house a broad range of arts and entertainment that people can use, take classes. The old gymnasium's been resurfaced. A full commercial kitchen's been added to that. So all those are places that the public can use. That is one of our buildings in our inventory. The old fire marshal admin building here is being retrofitted for a coffee shop that will serve the park. That's currently in the works. Senior Center, another location that we have in our inventory that went through some upfits with the gym, as well as a venue spot for people to rent out for events, a fully functioning commercial kitchen. Again, website's going to be one of the biggest things we're trying to hit on. We got a new website. A lot of people don't know these things that do through social media. Not everybody has social media. So the website, we're going to use that to kind of help direct people towards these things and what's available as provided for tax purposes, what you pay for, what you get. So that's one thing we're going to look for from staff level, making that known to people. Downtown master plan, that's still in the works, but part of that is also going to have wayfinding signs. When you come into our city, there's really no direction of where to get anywhere. We know that, council knows that. That's something that's going to be addressed during the downtown realignment and streetscape project. We do want to put those out, and then those have to be pulled up. So that's definitely going to help people direct them towards these facilities. The last portion of that is partnering with partnering with the Chamber of Commerce for coordinated events. We do that. I think the Chamber's been more involved than we have, but with the downtown Festival Street, we're going to be using that a lot. This portion right out here is going to be the Great Lawn. Friday nights, we used to have the food truck concerts in the park. That's coming back, so another resource for people to use to come here. We're excited about that. We do have a lot of events. We still do those at the Heritage Amphitheater.
touch a truck. Our public works department does an outstanding job kind of displaying, let people touch things that are taxpayered vehicles and vessels that they can use, let the kids play with. So that is culture resource. I think, again, I'm pretty happy where we're going with that. And I'm going to move on to, again, we can go over this at the end. Public facility. This one here, I feel like we're definitely on track to accomplish these. The one thing I would make a note, the very first section, implementation of a long-range proactive strategy accounting for facility and staffing. And we definitely checked that off with this building. We definitely have room to grow within here at the rate we're growing as a city. The one department I would say that would definitely need to be a priority as we move forward, and I would definitely mention that to council, is that our public works department. A lot of departments, municipalities, they got cut in half during 2008, during the recession. Some of those departments never came back. They just stayed at the employee level at 2008. And a lot of those guys are doing, wearing multiple hats. So that's one thing that we definitely need to look at. I would say as part of our priorities is what we want to do as far as we grow the city with annexations. More homes means more trash trucks. More trash trucks means a bigger yard to put those in. So that's something that I would definitely advocate for council to put that on their radar, is where we want to grow and how we're going to grow efficiently to be able to provide the services that we need. PD and fire, they're at the level they need. Fire is done through the fire district as well as the city. So they're adapting to the annexations that we have that come in development. They're set at the level that's city council wants them. They want to be more proactive, they'll hire more officers. So that was good to know that from the police department, that we are satisfied with the numbers we have now. Always can use more to do more proactive work. We have done some improvements with some of our parks. I mentioned that with the buildings we have here. We did Alder Park. I would like to mention that Public Works and Park and Recs did an outstanding job. If you haven't been over there, minus Helene doing some damage to it, but we brought some BMX tracks there and did a lot of landscaping. And Public Works, Parks and Recs, and Miss Carter were elbow knee deep getting that project done, and it turned out great. Definitely a benefit for the city. That's something we'll definitely have to maintain. Pickleball was brought to the college park, so we hear residents on the Facebook page of what they want. Staff and city administrator and council do look at and weigh the options of what people want as far as how much pickleball we don't want to outline. And you can see a lot of that in our park. We did have to cut back a lot budget-wise and just square footage of some of these activities. But as we grow as a city, we definitely probably want to look more as improving some of the other locations that we have pocket parks for. The last portion, coordinate with outside facilities, service providers. Public Works and planning staff does this yearly with several infrastructure entities. Rewall is one of the biggest ones. They're the facilitators of the wastewater that goes through the city, goes through us or goes through Metro, city to Metro, but eventually goes to Rewall. So they're the ones that regulate how much growth comes in. We definitely keep them up to date with how we're expanding. SCDOT, we have quarterly meetings with them with all kinds of issues that come up. We're trying to address that with them. And the school district, they contact myself and Charlotte, Ms. Carter, about projects coming into the city, so they're well known. So when we do have an annexation, I know that's one of the topics that come up about school capacity. That's where those meetings are held, keeping them up to date of where our permits are, so they have an account of how many future residents, future students are going to have, so they can plan for their future. excuse me. So I think, public facility, I think we're on track with that. Housing, and again, some of these objectives are addressed in other portions. Housing, and this is really looking at trying to be more flexible with the housing types in some of these neighborhoods. A lot of our zoning that we do have currently, we do look at other municipalities like the sign ordinance, but what we have currently as far as aesthetics, setbacks, site designs, is pretty comparable with other municipalities, and I think we're achieving a lot of these goals in the housing, promoting quality neighborhoods. Again, that goes to layout and materials. The one thing I wanted to bring up, H22, is promote interconnectivity between neighborhoods and destinations. I'm currently working on our LDR updates that are very outdated. That was something that was put in there, but was never really followed through in the past. And all these older neighborhoods, some of y'all might live in them, that's a cul-de-sac or a dead end, and then behind that's a house. Unfortunately, during the phasing process of the next phase, someone didn't look at the plans or the plat for the neighboring property, and they didn't connect those. That's something that we're going to be doing in the LDR, and that's something also will be coming before y'all to kind of address that. There's some that are there that we might be able to connect. I'm going to probably talk with city attorney about that, because the way to go about that is awareness. And these places that have these dead ends or these cul-de-sacs have signs that say future connection. Because the last person someone wants is to see a bulldozer and be notified that we're opening up this road to traffic. Being as transparent as possible, it's key in that. Let them know. That's something we're definitely look at, the legal route to some of these older neighborhoods. Because in the end, that helps with traffic. If they are designed at the right standard to handle vehicle traffic, that's a great resource. It benefits the people in there if done correctly. That's part of a traffic study we look at when someone wants calming bumps or speed bumps in their neighborhood. We look at that we're not creating a problem. And that's one of the things we would definitely look at in those situations. But it is part of the LDR, and I'm definitely kind of excited because that definitely helps what I've always said about the problems we have now on our roads is traffic, and they're all because all these neighborhoods funnel onto one main artery. They don't interconnect, and that's kind of how we got away from that in the 70s, and the neighborhoods used to be built on grids. They wanted these communities to be one way in, one way out, so you're in this area that's just y'all's. And the thought behind that was to create a community, but the backlash, but the offset to that is that it created congestion and it made everyone auto-centric mindset, so we were all funneling on the one road, and that road's congested. But infill projects is another good thing that we're looking at that we've been on target with. City of Simpsonville, we're kind of limited on growth except for the east, so we have a lot of infill projects that we're looking at. We're going to get some requests in for some of these properties that have been vacant for many years that now are going to have some work being done to them because we're running out of land in the city limits. So those are the areas we would want to have more density, and that's part of the comp plan is to give more of a bonus to some of these developments to help encourage that, because I know people don't like to hear density, but you spread that out over a large area, that creates more commute time, more traffic on the road as far as connectivity. Going back to that interconnection between neighborhoods, you've had that with commercial, and y'all have been a part of a lot of the ID developments. Those are a prime example. You connect people to retail, the walkability. That helps with the way of life from air pollution, noise pollution. But it's not a one-size-fits-all. So just kind of wrap all that up, and I kind of rambled a little bit there, but I feel we're pretty on set with that. Staff looked at these, and I say majority of these we've already checked off or we're on good pace to complete. And again, these are evaluations that go to council as a resolution. So if y'all saw fit that something needed to be changed or needs to be improved or to eliminate it's no longer relevant, those would be kind of amendments to the resolution that we do that. And just bear in mind that some of those, if they do change, might require a meeting, public meeting, to let residents voice their opinions regarding changing those. So from a staff perspective, I think we're sitting good at what we set out to do when this got approved back in 2020. And I can answer any questions you might have.
Any questions?
I do have a question. When is the realignment of the streets going to be happening?
The one-way mm-hmm. design, that I think is still in right-of-way acquisition portion. It's been a slow City staff's not been too much involved in that. That's more been city administration and council.
Okay.
We looked at some of the plans, but this is administration looking at this, and I think the cost was one. But right now, the stage where they're at is right-of-way. They need to acquire some right-of-ways to do some improvements. Once that's done, then it goes out to bid for contractors. So they're hoping by this summer that they'll have going out to bid. So that's the goal that I last heard. So that could change, could kick back more. So.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, one. Josh, is there an overview map of our layout for city limits for Simpson Hill?
I'm sorry, say it again.
An overview map of our city limits of Simpsonville.
There's one on our website. And when we get an annexation rezoning, sorry, annexation, that the yellow one, which is the city map, that gets expanded, and the zoning map obviously will change color to represent the zoning district. But yeah, we haven't had to do too many of those lately.
The reason I ask that, because of, I know they're in Fountain End, they're bringing their borders up towards Simpsonville. Mm-hmm. And I know that we're saying that we're running out of density and land. So I was just wondering how they're, are we interacting with the neighboring city in reference to that type of issue?
I will say we're definitely in competition. You always, and again, and this is kind of a hot topic item now with annexations, is the city does not pursue property owners. I know you are aware of that. It's the applicant. I mean, there's no applicant here tonight for that first item. We, from the staff level or city level, we can't really provide anything that is besides public service. There's no tax break we can give anybody. So it's really the ability to process or to work through our permit process, dealing with our staff and having the response from PD, fires included, trash and sewer is what gets people to come here. What I mean by being limited, once we get to a certain location, you start getting to the county's developments. So to annex a residential development was almost impossible just because it takes so many people to get involved. So that's where we're hitting the limits as far as what's realistic to be annexed. What you have in between us and Fountain Inn might be a lot of industrial places, and a lot of them don't want to be in Fountain Inn no more than City of Simpsonville because they don't want to pay a business license tax. Mm-hmm. In Greenville County, I forgot how that's registered, but they get registered as a license, but they don't pay a yearly fee. So the benefit for them is to stay. There's a couple retail places that we would love to be in the city, but as far as the offset of having police response over what they would pay in a business license, the police response is not as high as what they would have to pay in the business license. But they're growing. Malden's growing down to us. You can see that right up here on Northeast Main Street, the new apartment complex there on 385 in Northeast Main Street. It's got a Simpsonville mailing address, just like a lot of places do. But as Malden has moved down and they could continue to go. Again, that's how they want to see how they want their city to grow is up to their planning commission staff and council. So, okay.
Thank you.
Sorry, I know I get longer answers.
Good answer. Anything else? We're not making a vote on this, correct?
No, this is just if you had any discussion about changing things. This is basically to get your input and explain where we are. Again, don't read too much into this. It's the fact that unless there was something in here that I saw that was does not apply anymore, a standard that has changed, would need to amend that. But no, this is just close the discussion and call for adjourn.
Okay. All right. Any other comments? All right.
We will have a meeting on April 1st. Again, we'll let you know what we find out from the applicant for the first item. If they just didn't want to come or there was a miscommunication or what it was, let them know they do have the opportunity to come next meeting. But we will have other items if that does come as well. So mark your calendars for April 1st. That's not a joke. 6:30.
Okay. All right. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Commissioner Whittle, you have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Hirschhorn or Commissioner Wells, both. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? And we're adjourned.